I met Kevin Lewis nearly 7 years earlier, in a local Boston bar. I'd graduated from Harvard a few years before he left MIT, and we shared a few mutual friends as well as a few minor interests. Sports, late nights at college pubs, widescreen TVs. I was a fledgling writer at the time of our introduction, just about to publish my first novel. As far as I knew, Kevin was employed by some sort of computer software firm, something he had never explained in detail, probably because I had never been interested enough to ask. Kevin seemed too much the typical MIT grad, a true engineer at heart. As my writing career began to take off in the years that followed our first meeting, we rarely crossed paths. It was almost 6 years later that we ran into each other at a Super Bowl party in an apartment located a few blocks from Fenway Park. Kevin had just flown in from a business trip to Las Vegas. During the game's halftime show, I found myself alone with him in the kitchen. After a quick exchange of pleasantries, he surprised me by lowering his voice and beckoning me in close. "I've got a great story for your next book," he began. I immediately thought about edging toward the exit. Like every other writer, I had heard this opening 1,000 times in my career. Everyone had a story he believed worthy of a bestseller. For me, reality was rarely interesting enough to take the place of fiction. But as Kevin began to open up to me, I felt the hair rising on the back of my neck. Unlike the thousands of other cocktail party stories I had heard, Kevin's tale had all the elements of a high-concept cinematic thriller. But it was real. Everything Kevin was relating to me had actually happened. He had lived it, every minute of it, and he was willing to let me get it all down on paper. "Why?" I had asked, amazed. Kevin never answered my question directly. Over time, I've tried to piece together an answer of my own. Kevin had been part of something incredible. He and his friends got away with one of the biggest schemes in Vegas history, and nobody knew a damn thing about it. Telling the story was his way of reliving the experience in a public forum. It was a way for him to prove to himself and to anyone who cared that it had actually happened. More than that, it was a way for Kevin to come to terms with the choices he had made, the decisions that had led him to his double life. Many of those choices might have seemed immoral to the outside world. By telling his story, Kevin could explain himself to those who believed that what he did was somehow wrong. In other words, his story was part boast, part confession. For me, this was too good a story to pass up. As the Super Bowl played on in the other room, Kevin made me an offer. He promised to tell me everything, to give me access to his contacts and his lifestyle. He promised to teach me his system and show me the key that could unlock the casino's coffers. In return, I would give him his moment. The deeper I delved into Kevin's double life, the more I realized how far I'd come out ahead in our bargain. When I finally sat down to put the words onto paper, Kevin's story flashed by my eyes in technicolor, as bright as a Vegas marquee.